Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Finally today, a conversation with Diane Foley, mother of journalist James Foley, the freelancer who was brutally killed by ISIS militants in a video released 10 days ago. The morning after news of Foley's death spread, journalists gathered outside the family home in Rochester, New Hampshire. But at that moment, Diane Foley was unable to speak. Instead, she hugged each reporter waiting on her lawn and then went inside to pray with her family. Well, Foley is speaking more now. She came into our studios yesterday and talked about how she remembers her son. First of all, let me just say that I am delighted to meet you, but terribly sorry that it has to be under these circumstances. But so thank you again for coming in.
Sure.
How have you been?
Jim's death is has been very difficult for us as a family. Very difficult. Jim is the oldest and very beloved oldest of our five children. So it's been very difficult. It has been very difficult. But he does inspire us and challenge us too, Meghna. He had grown into a man my husband and I hardly recognize. He had grown into a humanitarian as well as a journalist, and we are challenged to continue that legacy. We really are.
Can you tell me more about Jim as he was growing up? I mean, what kind of boy and young man was he that led him to be the person he became?
Jim was always really full of joy. He was a happy kid. He had a big smile. He also loved adventures. He loved to go places and see things and meet people. He had a real ability to be present to others. Always had a lot of friends, all kinds of friends, you know, not just one type of friend, but all ages and all types of people.
Was there a moment in his younger years where he told you, "Mom, I want to be a journalist. That's what my calling is"?
Not at all. No. I don't think Jim knew what he wanted to do. In undergraduate, he majored in history and Spanish. I think it was first at Marquette University, though, that he was exposed to real poverty by working in the inner city in their schools. And I think that drew him to Teach for America after college, and was deeply challenged himself by a lot of the middle schoolers in inner city Phoenix that he worked with. And he loved to write stories about what was happening in his life, and was interested in becoming a writer. And somehow the journalism seemed to meld both of those together.
If I may ask, on the one hand, it must have been such a wonderful feeling to see all those interests, as you say, come together in your son, and then him going out into the world and doing this work that was informing the rest of us about the reality of lives of people thousands of miles away. That must have made you very proud.
We're very proud of Jim.
But on the other hand, as a mother, when he first started reporting from war zones, you must have been worried.
Very worried. And Jim knew that. He was very good about keeping in touch when he was away, because he knew it was hard on us. But he had found his passion. And we tried many times to dissuade him. His siblings did, and I did, as we really came to know how really dangerous it was.
Well, you came to know that in part because he had been abducted while working in Libya.
Exactly, yeah.
But after that, and after the harrowing experience of not knowing what had happened to him while he had disappeared in Libya, I mean, did you ever tell him that you did not want him to go back to conflict zones?
Well, we implored him not to, and we tried to ask him to consider other things. But Jim made it very clear that he was passionate about it, and that is what he wanted to do. And so, you know, as a parent, you know, you want to support a child's passion, if you will. So we tried to support him in that effort.
Forgive me for asking, but when he was taken hostage for the second time in Syria, you must have been just devastated and thinking, if this is happening all over again.
We were.
Can you tell us what those first days and weeks that then drew on into months were like for you?
Well, Magna, truly a nightmare, really. A nightmare. Except that this nightmare went on and on and on. It was an entire year that we had not even had a sighting of Jim. So we did not know for that first year if he was alive or not. Then getting him out was another huge hurdle, obviously.
Were you happy with the assistance that was given to you by both the U.S. government and the news outlets that Jim was working for in trying to secure his freedom?
Obviously, happy would not be the word, Magna, because, of course, the result was not at all what we wanted.
Yeah.
We're deeply grateful to Global Post and Phil Balboni. And I do believe our government tried to be of a help to us. We hope that Jim's death will make a difference and that the other hostages, particularly Stephen Sotloff and Austin Tice, who are public, will be released and returned home safely. We hope that something better can be done, certainly. I mean,
forgive me, please, for using the word happy. I know it's not the right word. I was just trying to figure out a way to broach this issue of, you know, what can or should be done to help secure the freedom of all these people that you have mentioned who've been taken hostage, because there's a lot of debate now. Should the U.S. government pay those ransoms that are demanded by the militant groups? And you've come out as saying, no, you don't think that government should pay large ransoms for captured journalists, right?
It is a very complex issue. I, as a mother, would like our government to find a way to protect these courageous journalists and bring them home. I'm not wise enough to know what should be done, because I certainly don't want to encourage kidnapping of any journalists. We need to trust our elected officials to figure this out for us. And I would hope to work together with our allies so that this doesn't happen to any other journalist. It shouldn't be, Magna. Mm. It just shouldn't be.
Do you mind if I ask you about the letter that that Jim wrote that you posted not that long ago? Because, first of all, I have to say I'm just in awe of his ingenuity in getting that letter to you, because, of course, he couldn't just get a piece of paper out of wherever he had been held to you. He actually asked a fellow hostage to memorize this letter, and that's the way it was delivered to you. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, like when you first heard his words?
Well, that was a gift, Magna. We had not heard his voice or received any letter from him since he was captured in November of 2012. So for this young man, for Daniel, a Danish citizen, to memorize the English and then take the time within 48 hours of his release to call us was just so dear. His words are all we have.
Yeah.
So we treasure them.
In part of it, Jim wrote, and again, you were hearing this through Daniel's voice because he had memorized it. I'm looking at it now. Jim wrote, "I remember so many great family times that take me away from this prison, and dreams of family and friends take me away, and happiness fills my heart." When you heard those words, I mean, did you feel like you were hearing your son?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. We have a wonderful family, yeah. Meghna. We're very blessed. I like to think that a lot of the joy that he experienced as a child and young adult and our wonderful family times were a huge strength to him. That together with the prayer, so much prayer was going on for Jim, has been going on for the last several years. So I hope the love of the family and those prayers are what gave him the strength to endure.
Do you have a favorite memory? I'm sure you have many, 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 many favorite memories of him, but is there one that you'd like to share?
Well, there are so many. I guess one of the things that warms my heart, Meghna, is when the other hostages now freed tell us the stories of how Jim helped in the prison. He was such a force for positivity and optimism in the midst of a very dark place, and he brought some of his joy. They played games and figured out ways to entertain themselves and challenge each other. He brought a lot of light into that very dark place. And just his goodness to mentoring former students in Chicago. We have been so struck by so many people whose lives he's touched. And those all give me a good feeling that he's going to live on.
Well, Diane Foley is mother of journalist James Foley. Diane Foley, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna. My pleasure, Meghna. Thank you.
I'm very grateful. Thank you. Diane Foley also told us that the family is creating the James W. Foley Foundation. There's more information about that at radioboston.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.